Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome to another episode of Why Don't We Just Get Started? And I am your host, Robert Farrell, and it is January 6th, 2014. No, 2015, excuse me. 2015. This is my first show of the year. And I want to talk about what I've been doing, where I've been, why I haven't chosen to do a radio show, and why I want to do one tonight. All right. Tonight's show is called Because I Should. And before I talk about that, I want to, as I said, talk about where I've been and what I've been doing. I'm not sure when the last time I did a show was. It wasn't too long ago, maybe just a few days ago. But I have been extremely busy working on a paper for an entrance exam into an online university program. The university is not online, but the program is. And I have to, or I had to, what was required of me was to do an application, fill out all this paperwork, send in my financial information, and then the last part was to write a 5 to 6 page essay on this, on a particular topic. There were 5 or 6 that were given, and I picked one, and it involved about over 700 pages of reading, and then a 5 to 6 page essay. And I got it done. I'm really happy about that because it was a lot of work, and this may have been one of the first times in my academic career where I did the work that was required, got it in on time, and for the most part really enjoyed it. Now, it was really hard. There were times when I really had to fight myself, my self-sabotage, my proclivity to be distracted and delay myself. I had to fight fear and self-doubt. I wrote a first draft and I sent it to a teacher I used to work for, a teacher I had, excuse me, back in the 1970s. And he and his wife graciously took the time to read my work and not so graciously tore my draft apart. And I am laughing because it was actually quite gracious, the work they did, but it didn't feel gracious. I mean, my goodness, I really got ripped apart, and rightfully so. They caught so many errors and mistakes and ways that the paper could have been improved. And that process was quite humbling, but very, very necessary. And then I, based on their suggestions, rewrote the paper or edited it, and then I sent it to my academic advisor. She then sent it back with more suggestions and recommendations, which I implemented. Then she sent it back again. That's a couple more. And then she said, this is great. And my professor said it was great. So it was hopefully a great paper. It's now in process and it will be reviewed by one of the faculty and hopefully by Monday or by Friday, this Friday, today's Tuesday, hopefully by Friday, I will know. And at that point, I will know, and will be accepted into the university. Now, I'm going to assume, not to be arrogant, but because I just think it's the truth, that I will be accepted into the program. I don't think my paper was the greatest entrance essay of all time, but it was good, and it had certainly gone through the rounds of editing, and I'm a good writer, so I don't see that it would be so horrible that it would, that some professor would say, oh no, this guy is not ready for master degree work. In addition, I already have a master's degree, so it's not as if I'm unused to the work or they would think I'm ill prepared. So I'm going to assume that I'll be accepted, and it's possible I'm wrong, but I'll assume that I am, and then I will start the program proper in March. So that's where I've been for the last few days. I've been really focused on this paper, and tonight, today I was with my kids all day, and they were with me last night, and then I got home, and I just really felt, wow, I can relax now. I can just stop. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to write a blog. I don't have to do a radio show. I don't have to do anything. And in addition, I'm walking right now, and it hurts because this is really embarrassing, but I basically got my butt kicked by my 8-year-old. We were wrestling and she kicked me. We were playing and she kicked me really hard in the leg and gave me a Charlie horse. And so I've been kind of in pain, and I actually meant to take a Motrin or something before I started my paper, or I'm sorry, before I started my blog, and I forgot. Now, I am walking, and there is this most beautiful heron I'm looking at. I'm walking around a lake, and there's this heron just sitting there. It's really quite amazing. I feel very grateful to see that. So I'm going to keep walking so as to not disturb the heron. Heron, H-E-R-O-N. Okay. Anyway. So in addition to having just pulled a lot of work out of me, a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of stress, and then being busy all day and being in pain, and I'm not like in agony, but it hurts, I really didn't feel the need to do a radio show. So why am I doing it? Why am I doing a radio show? Why am I walking when it hurts so much? I'm doing my radio show because I should. And I wrote my blog tonight because I should. And I want to talk about the word should. The word should often gets a bad rap. It has a bad reputation. Many, many years ago, I heard a friend say, well, don't use the word should. Don't should on yourself. In other words, don't obligate yourself to things that make you feel bad or guilty. Don't put yourself under pressure that's not necessary or healthy. And that is a very beautiful sentiment. And I think it's correct and proper. But like all ideas, it has its opposite. And sometimes its opposite is true. I think there are things we should do. And not out of obligation, not out of fear, certainly, not out of pressure from others or self, but simply because they're the right thing to do. We should do them because they're the right things to do. Now, what makes it the right thing to do? What makes it the right thing to do is when we do something that is loving, when we do something that is kind, when we do something that moves us forward in our purpose. Now, I've talked a lot about school and the work that I had to deal with for the last few days. And again, assuming I'm selected to be in the program, I'm going to be doing a lot more work starting in March. And I'm going to be pretty busy. As a result, I've decided to make my goal of blogs, my number of blogs, 200, maybe just a little over 200. I'm going to say about 205 so that I've reached 1,000 blogs by the end of this calendar year. And that's still less than half the input that I did last year. And it's about a 2/3 of what I've done the year before. So, and I'm doing this because of school, because I want to do really, really well in school. This will probably, though not necessarily, because I'd like to keep walking and exercising, but it may also reduce the number of radio shows. And yet here I am, I've done a blog tonight, and I did a radio show. I'm doing a radio show now. And why am I doing it? Because I should. And here's why. I have a purpose. I have a goal. For a lack of a better word, and though Harvey McKay says not to use this word, I'm going to use it anyway. I have a dream. My dream is living in a house on the beach and being able to write and speak and do radio shows and maybe teach history at the community college level. This is my dream. And I believe that my writing and my radio shows are part of reaching this goal. And I don't want to use the word dream too much because a dream is ethereal, it's intangible, but goals are very tangible. Goals are measurable. And I have this goal to do this thing, to get to this house on the beach. As I said, I'd like to one day write for a living. I'd like to do radio shows. I would love to have a syndicated radio show where I am paid a lot of money to motivate other people on a regular basis. And most of all, I want my house on the beach. I really do. I want that more than just about anything else. And I have always believed, and I continue to believe, that consistency with my radio shows, consistency with my blogs, is in some way the key to reaching my house on the beach. Now, I don't even completely understand why myself. I don't see the connection because I'm not getting paid for my blogs. I'm not getting paid for my radio shows. I don't even have a particularly large audience yet. And yet, I feel that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. However, I'm also going to be returning to school in a couple of months. And I got a very big taste of what that's going to involve and how it's going to impact the next 18 months of my life. It's going to be big. It's going to take time and discipline and self-control. It's going to take time management. It's not going to happen magically. I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to work really hard. If I thought this weekend was rough, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for the next 18 months unless I stay really, really focused. And so I'm going to be backing off on the blogs and possibly on the radio shows. And yet I'm still doing one tonight. Why? Because I should. Because sometimes there are things we should do because they move us towards our goals. And when school starts for me and when I have my classes, whether however it is I'm supposed to do them, when I'm reading and when I'm writing, these are things I should do. Now, why should I do them? Because, as I said, yes, they reach me towards, they get me towards my goals. They help me reach my goals. But also because when we make commitments, unless we just decide that that commitment is just not going to work, but when we make commitments, it is the most loving thing to stick with them. Now, we don't, maybe, perhaps we don't, I don't at least, I haven't always followed through on every single commitment I've made. I have failed in many ways, in many respects, in every area of my life. And yet I still believe that it's life-changing and life-enhancing and life-growing, if you will, to stick with our commitments and move forward in them. It's the most loving thing to do. Again, I haven't always been successful in this area of my life, and I freely admit that. But in this case, I want to stick with the commitment of doing well in school. I want to stick to the commitment of doing the reading and the writing and the studying that is going to be required, because it's the most loving thing to do. I've talked many times about my undergraduate career and how disappointed I was in myself for a long time that I didn't work well and I didn't study. And I'm not beating myself up over that anymore. It was what it was, and it's over, and it's a long time ago. And yet it happened, and I talked about how I didn't get the results I wanted. And this was one of the consequences of my lackadaisical performance. But there was, one of the consequences was my low grades. But there was another consequence. There were a couple consequences that I didn't really think about too much at the time, but they were very real. And they weren't measurable, perhaps, but they were just as real. One of the consequences was that I had very low self-esteem with regard to my grades. I was very embarrassed for years, not only during school when I was in the undergraduate program, but for years afterwards. I really felt bad about myself. I felt embarrassed. I didn't like to talk about it. It was as if it were a pretty closed chapter in my life, because in many ways, for me, it was a huge failure. Oh, yeah, I graduated, but I didn't excel, and I could have, or I could have at least done better. And so it hurt my self-esteem. It also made me miss a lot of emotional, mental, intellectual opportunities that I might have had I done the work I was required to do. I would have learned more, and when I learn more and get more perspective, I would have It would have benefited me greatly. I think I also, well, I know, I lost the respect of not only my peers, but my professors. I was in a teaching program, and I was actually asked to leave. I was, every once in a while, they would drop someone from the program, and one year, that was me. It was one of the biggest shocks of my life. But looking back, what shocks me more is that I was shocked about it at all. I didn't know the material. I didn't understand the philosophy of the program. I was rebellious. I was pretty lazy at some levels. I just didn't do what was necessary. And I paid the price. Now, eventually, I did get my teaching credential through that same program, but I had to go back. I missed time. I missed years. So that was the other consequence. And another consequence was that because I lost the self-esteem and because I lost the intellectual and mental growth, and because I lost the respect of others, I also lost the opportunity to love. And here's what I mean. Had I studied, had I worked, I would have learned. And if I had learned, I would have been happier. And if I had been happier, I would have loved more. I remember one quarter that I got an A and two Bs. It was maybe my third or fourth quarter in the school, and I was finally getting my bearings, and I got an A and two Bs. And I remember how good I felt. I felt so good. I felt so peaceful and loving and happy. It was a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And it's a feeling that I would have had a lot more had I done a lot more studying. Now, again, I'm not saying all this because I'm trying to beat myself up or have regrets. I have no regrets. Everything was what it was. It's over. It's done. But we can still take the disappointments of the past and use them to fuel a better future. And this is the thing I want. I want to love. I want to be more loving. And so I want to commit to this course, this academic course, and this course of life so that I can be more loving. I want to excel because when I get ideas, those are ideas, those are growth, points of growth that I can use to bless others. Let me give you an example of something I've learned in the last few days. The United States of America is an amazing, amazing country. And it all goes back to its origins, which are pretty, pretty amazing. And we are, in many ways, a country of radicals. We are a country of people who know things could be better. And many of us choose to fight for those things. We choose to fight to be freer, but we don't have to fight for our freedom. We fight to be freer, but we don't have to fight for our freedom because we're already free. And here's the other thing that's even more interesting. We don't have to fight at all. We can live in this country and not be involved at any level of the political process. We don't even have to vote. And we can still reap the benefits of all this country has to offer. Now, there are places in the world where political fighting is literally a fight to the death. People are literally fighting for their lives to change the political situation in their country. It's crazy. But in this country, we don't have to do that. Now, I'm not saying this country is perfect. I'm not saying it doesn't need a lot of improvement. I'm not saying it doesn't have major problems. But it's still an amazing country. Think about it. There are people that have never voted their whole lives, and they don't have to. They never have to vote. You can go your whole life in this country without voting once, and you still reap the benefits of this country. And you may reap the consequences of whatever the leadership is doing as well. But you can go your whole life without being involved in the political process and still be considered a valid U.S. citizen. It's pretty amazing. And that's something I've learned. I've gained a new appreciation for the United States of America and its history in just a few short days. And that makes me happy because it adds something to my mind that wasn't there before. And this is something I can share with other people to encourage them. And that's how I love people, by encouraging them. But I can't encourage unless I have something to give. I can't encourage unless I have something to offer. I had a friend who used to say all the time, you can only take people as far as you've been yourself. So I have to go farther than I've ever been in my life. And I should do this. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the most loving thing to do. It not only helps me with my goals, but it helps me bless other people. And I gave this analogy in my blog that I wrote yesterday or the day before, and goes something like this, that as I grow, like a tree grows, I can provide more comfort and shade to others. I can also provide the wood for more ideas. I can provide fruit. I can provide leaves and shade and beauty if I grow like a tree. So I should do this. I should do my best. Again, the word should has long been given a bad rap, but it's not necessarily a bad word if we use it in the right context. And that's really it. I wish I had more to say, but I'm really just about done here. So I'm going to leave with that. And, well, I'll leave with this. Is there something you should do? Not out of obligation, not out of fear, not out of resentment, but is there something you should be doing? Is there a mission? Is there a purpose? Is there a calling in your life? And you should be doing this, because if you're not, you're really not ever going to be completely fulfilled or happy or completely satisfied with yourself. I have 90 seconds, so I'll share this story, a story I've shared before, but it illustrates the point very clearly. Several years ago, I felt called to go on a one-week mission project, and I felt very called to do it, and I was going to do it, and then I chickened out, and the reason I gave was lack of finance, and then I felt miserable. I felt miserable because I knew I should be doing this thing. And one night I got very sick, and I got a fever, and God spoke to me in that fever, and he spoke to me, and he said, it will cost you more to stay home than it will to go. And I woke up, like, as if someone had pushed me awake, and I knew I had to go. And I did what I was supposed to do. I did what I should have done. And it turned that whole part of my life around. So is there something you should be doing? All right. My time's just about up. If you need a speaker, a mentor, a writer, an editor, a coach, or anything else I can be doing that I can do for you, give me a call at 619-672-0378. Give me a call. I look forward to it.